following is a message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, as I said earlier, I'm excited to launch a series for the month of November entitled The Holy Spirit and Me. Do we have that graphic? And it's actually the Holy Spirit in you, but it's, if you're saying it, it's the Holy Spirit in me. If I'm saying it for me, it's the Holy Spirit in me. And it is an awesome thing to know that the Holy Spirit is specifically ours. I'm going to ask if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to read an overarching scripture. As you know, Pastor Dave will be preaching on this subject, as we've been doing for several months, and we've been teaming up. Pastor Renee will be preaching on this subject, and I want this morning to lay a foundation for what the scripture says about the Holy Spirit. I already started to preach it a bit in some things that Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit, but I do want to give us an overarching scripture for the times in which we are living as it relates to the Holy Spirit. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and beginning at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. How many of you could agree that we see things going on around us that are evil? I personally, in my life, I've never seen evil so blatant. I've never seen things so clearly. As we entered into 2020, there were many of us felt that 2020 would be a year of 2020 vision, and it has been. It's not at all what we had expected. Hi, how are you? Good to see you guys. Just some old friends from the past. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Good to see. Yeah, good to see you, Kevin. Isn't it good to be part of a family? It is. So, it has been, 2020 has been a year of 2020 vision. The reality is, however, that it hasn't necessarily been what we thought it would be. And things that have been hidden, and that has been a prayer of many of us for years as well, that things that are hidden would come to the light. That's been happening. And it can get messy, and we may not like it, but my prayer continues to be, Father, continue to uncover every hidden thing so that truth would prevail in our nation, in our society. We don't need to have anything hidden. We shouldn't have anything hidden in our own personal lives, in our own personal relationships, nor should we as a nation. So we are living in a time where good is called evil and evil is called good, and we just need to, and it isn't a matter of personal opinion. It is a matter of truth. It doesn't matter what I think. If what I think doesn't line up with the Word of God, both the Word written and the Word of God personal in the person of Jesus Christ, then I've just got to change my opinion. Plain and simple. Because truth is truth, and light is light, and darkness is darkness, and there is no shadow in the midst of the truth of God. And so, when we live in days like this, Paul, the writer of the book of Ephesians, has some advice. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. I was speaking at a men's retreat many years ago for a church other than this church, and I was asked to minister on the Holy Spirit. And so I began to minister, I began to minister on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I remember very clearly the leader because I provoked discussion, somewhere in our discussion said, well, I don't really like that word baptism in the Holy Spirit. I like just to use the phrase filled with the Spirit. And so I went to the book of Acts. And we looked at where Jesus is the one who put into play, if I could say it that way, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of you, not most of you won't, but some of you will remember the old Brill cream ads that said, a little dab will do ya. I want you to know that when it comes to the Holy Spirit, a little dab will not do ya. Now, in reality, the scripture, even in the book of Acts, almost immediately begins to call being baptized in the Holy Spirit as being filled with the Spirit. But I do want us to understand that there is a difference, and I want to give you a little visual picture. The reality is that we can fill this glass with water. But that's not what the Bible talks about when it's really talking about being filled with the Spirit. Now, I can fill this glass of water until it's overflowing. I'm just watering the plant. Relax. But that's still, and we'd say, well, yeah, and it does mean that. We should leak everywhere we go. We should be so full of the Holy Spirit everywhere we go. But that is not what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. What it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. See, and you can say, well, there's no difference. There's every bit of difference. There's a difference between a glass having water and the water having the glass. There's a difference between the Spirit of God, you having the Spirit, and the Spirit having you. And when Jesus said that you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, what he was saying is this Holy Spirit will have you. You will be immersed in the Holy Spirit. And it's just not a little dab will do you. And we see it even in our text out of Ephesians here. He says, be not drunk with wine. What does he mean? Does he mean he can't have wine? No. He just means wine can't have you. That's what drunkenness is. It's when you no longer don't just have wine. The wine has you. And you are intoxicated. I want you to know that just a couple weeks back, we had an elder and wife retreat, and I got intoxicated. Several of us did. With the Spirit of God. And there is an analogy between being drunk in the Spirit and being drunk in the natural. But it has to do with what has a hold of you. What are you immersed with? What has overtaken you? And see, and that's why in the scripture, when people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, something happened. And you think, some of you think, I'm going to say they spoke in tongues. That is true, but not in every case. But what did happen is their tongue was impacted. The most unruly member of the human body will always, listen to me, will always be impacted when someone is baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it may come out in prophecy. It may come out in praise. It may come out in boldness of preaching. And yes, it may come out in speaking in tongues. It can come out in any of those ways. Over the years, people have asked the question, I wonder if Billy Graham was filled with the Spirit. And I can tell you he was. And the reason I know he was is because of his speech. It does not matter to me whether he ever spoke in tongues or not. He was filled with the Spirit, and it was evidence in his speech and in his preaching. And more than that, not just his preaching, but people's response to his preaching. His messages were not complicated. It was pretty simple. You're either going to heaven or hell. Make up your mind. But he preached with a boldness and he preached with a confidence that comes from the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit always, always, always changes our speech. In Acts chapter 2, they waited. And by the way, the Holy Spirit comes to us in different ways. In Acts chapter 2, they waited patiently in the upper room, and the Spirit fell, and they all spoke in tongues. However, actually what they all did is speak in a language not their own. And it was an actual earthly language, because it says everyone, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem from all over the globe were there, and they all got to hear God praised in their native tongue. And they said, ooh, are not these all Galileans? You know what they were saying? Are not these all Jewish hillbillies? Unlearned? Blech. And yet we all hear our God being praised in our language. Had to do with the tongue. In Acts chapter 4, the guys have been arrested and told not to preach anymore. So some of the same that got baptized in chapter 2 asked for a fresh baptism. Why? That they might declare boldly the voice. Acts chapter 8. Was the laying on of hands. And Scripture doesn't tell us what the reaction was, only that they were filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 10. The Holy Spirit sovereignly falls on the Gentiles in the middle of Peter's sermon. And they speak in tongues. Gentiles. You talk about Galileans being thought of negatively. Gentiles? Ugh. And yet God comes and he makes them home, his home in them. He immerses them in himself. And himself in them. Acts chapter 19, the laying on of hands, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. I want us to understand that I believe anytime the baptism of the Holy Spirit is taking place, people's speech is impacted, and there's a boldness, and there's prophecy, and there's prayer, and yes, they're speaking in tongues. And I'm going to lay a foundation for speaking in tongues this morning. It's not that it's not important. I just don't like it being used to tell people that if you don't do this, you don't have God, or you don't have the Spirit. And that is manipulation, and that is control, and it's false doctrine. I believe. In fact, here's what I believe. I believe there would be some scriptural context to say that the purest form of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is prophecy. On that day, Peter stands up, shy, well, not shy, bold, stupid Peter stands up. And now his speech, he's like a different guy. He speaks, 3,000 get filled. But here's what he said. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last day, saith the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. I want to suggest on the day of Pentecost, they heard God, people praising God. They were prophesying the goodness and the grace of God. Just not in their language or in a language that they knew intellectually. Upon your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and upon your manservants and your maidservants I will pour out my Spirit, and they will prophesy. Your voice matters, but here's the deal. You need help. No, you need lots of help. In the day in which you and I are living in, we need help. And that is why Jesus was so excited to go away. He said it over and over again particularly John chapter 14, 15, and 16. He said, I've got to go, guys, so it is good for you that I go, so that I can send you the helper. I can send you the paraclete. I can send you the teacher. I can send you one who will be with you and will be in you. And in the context of all that, he said, this helper will teach you concerning me, Jesus speaking. And he will take the things that belong to me and he'll make them known to you. I have things to say to you, but you are not yet ready to hear him. But when he, the teacher, comes, he will lead you into all truth. He will speak concerning me, Jesus speaking. So don't ever feel like if you give the Holy Spirit too much attention, you're going to make Jesus jealous. You can't give the Holy Spirit too much attention in the same way you can't give Jesus too much attention, and you can't give God the Father too much attention, because they just point to one another and say, no, it's him. No, it's him. The Holy Spirit delights in revealing Jesus. The Father delights in revealing Jesus. You've heard me say before, and I'll say again, I believe the entry point into any new place in God, in our personal relationship with him, is through the doorway of Jesus. He introduces me to the Father. He causes me to be more open to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit causes me to be more open to him, and on we could go. So with that understanding, I do want to, by the way, I want us to notice in our text in Ephesians, verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Next verse 19, speaking to one another. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking. I want you in your, if this is not a part of your theology, I am going to do my best to put it there this morning for you. If you have never understood that the primary thing that takes place with the activity of our Holy Spirit in our life is our speech. The most unruly member, James writes, of the human body. Who can tame the tongue? The Holy Spirit can. And he can take your most unruly member, and you are immersed in him, and you no longer belong to yourself. You belong to him. And you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you talk different. Well, you do too. All because of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, that there are diversities of gifts, there are diversities of ministries, and there are diversities of activities in the body of Christ. And in the same way, there is a diversity and in the purpose of speaking in tongues. I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And again, the Apostle Paul is writing, and I'm so thankful for the Church of Corinth, because Paul's two letters to the Corinthians explains a lot of things that would never have got explained except that Paul had to write and set things in order in Corinth. And chapter 14 is no different. He's setting in order the use of tongues in the assembly, and the overuse of tongues in the assembly, and encouraging them, listen, if you're going to speak in your language, speak, prophesy. Don't speak in tongues unless you're going to interpret. But in the process of all that, he says some things, and he helps us see that there is a diversity of purpose in tongues of at least three purposes. One of the purposes of speaking in tongues is for personal edification, and we'll read it in a minute. The second purpose is for public interpretation and for encouraging. The third is for unbelievers. It is assigned to unbelievers, and that would be if I go to Russia and I'm all of a sudden preaching and I began to speak in Russian, having never been intellectually trained in it. And that's happened before to a number of people, I know. So there's at least those three activities of the Holy Spirit and of the gift of speaking in tongues. But I want to focus this morning on a very important aspect of that, and that is for our self-edification. We are living in evil days, and I want to suggest that we need to be built up. It says in Jude, build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. So I want to call our attention to chapter 14. Let's read the first five verses, and then I'll comment on it. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. I just want to pull out of that, in the midst of all that, Paul is giving some understanding of some of the things that the gift, and it is a gift, of speaking in tongues does. By the way, I want you to be aware, if you're here this morning and you've never spoken in tongues and you would like to, the prayer teams will be available to lay hands on you and ask you or ask the Lord and join with you in believing for the gift. But the gift is the Holy Spirit. And it may be evidenced with speaking in tongues, and even if it isn't here today, it will be. I can't tell you the number of people who have said they got baptized in the Holy Spirit all alone in their bedroom, which is very, very biblical. May not have been an upper room, or it may have been. But Holy Spirit, I want to say this carefully, Holy Spirit doesn't need our help. Many of us have been visited by the Holy Spirit in various ways. But one of the ways is just the power of agreement and the laying on of hands. You maybe are here this morning and you have been baptized in the Spirit for many years. I can tell you this, if you're like me, you could be due for a fresh baptism. I don't know if you can sense it or not, but we're on the edge of something. And I believe you can sense it. There's wonderful things that God has planned. And you can say, yeah, but things are such a mess. Exactly. The Prince of Light functions really well in the dark. Verse 2 of what we just read tells us that when we pray in tongues, we speak mysteries to God. Isn't it nice that you've come along and you can explain things to God that he's been trying to figure out for years? No, that's not what it means, is it? No, it's not a mystery to him, it's a mystery to us. And that's good. But verse 4 tells us that in the process of shandali arshoko barandari kilia sotalamaka, in the process of speaking in tongues, I'm speaking mysteries to God. I'm speaking to God, not the devil. I don't believe that tongues is for speaking to the devil. Now it can. We can use it in warfare, but it's to build up the warrior, and that's you. So we're speaking mysteries to God, and verse 4 tells us that what comes out of it is, I am edified. I get built up. That word edified is where the root word where we get the word edifice. It is an architectural term. It's beams and columns, and it's a building up or a shoring up. And when you and I, shandalia, shondara makolia, sodala maki, there is something that begins to rise, and I am edified, I'm built up. And I have not a clue what I said. Let's look at it right now. Verse 14. Let's read a little more, and then, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Some of you, I know this to be true when I first began to exercise the privilege of speaking in tongues in my private time or in assembly. By the way, not every time someone prays in a tongue do you need an interpretation. Now, you do if it's in an assembly, and that's what I agree with the Apostle Paul. It's always good to do. But I'd rather have people prophesy than speak in tongues. As a leader, it just can, with interpretation, I mean, I'd rather have prophecy. It's just a lot less messy and doesn't create so many questions and, oh! Just saying. But we can agree, some of you have come to our higher call class. We've started out our class with speaking in tongues, all of us, whatever, 14, 15, 20 people, whatever's there. But it's we're praying in the Spirit. It doesn't need to be interpreted. It shouldn't be interpreted. We're edifying ourselves, preparing to pray in English, but we're being built up. But here's the deal. The mind is unfruitful. The mind doesn't know what I'm saying. And sometimes our mind will war against us. The natural mind wars against the things of the Spirit. And some of you maybe find that in a group, it's hard for you to pray out loud in tongues because there's just a wrestling that goes on in your mind. No surprise. The mind doesn't like it very much. It immediately sends an email to the soul and says, do you know what's going on? I don't know what's going on, and I don't like this. The mind is unfruitful. It's not about, see, I pray from my spirit. Everybody say spirit. If there's nothing else that we can establish this morning, I want to establish that you primarily are a spiritual being, and that's why it is so important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to stay that way. Because we are spirit. So my spirit prays. My mind is unfruitful. By the way, true prophecy flows the same as speaking in tongues, I believe. And that is, you speak from your spirit, in our case, in English, and you don't know for sure what you're going to say next. That is true prophecy. And by the way, I've talked a lot to Alan Ross, and that is how he prophesies. He just gets a little picture or something, begins to speak, and stuff just bubbles out. And he's told me, and those of you who prophesy know sometimes your mind can wrestle with you. It's like, you're just talking stupid. Yeah, well, it's only because our mind doesn't know. But the person receiving knows, and the Spirit of God knows. How many of us have seen people we know prophesied over and thinking, whoa, you got that wrong, only to find out it was right on? Why? because we're not as smart as we think we are. I'm just saying. And it isn't about what we know. It's about who we know. So my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? Verse 15. I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, and I will sing with my understanding. Did you know you can sing in tongues? Shandalia sondaria kolia sondaria ki. I don't know what I said, but I know it was good. It's between me and him. But I'm edified, I'm built up. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I want you to notice what Paul says next. I thank God that I speak with tongues more than ye all. Must have been from the south. The Apostle Paul is saying, I speak with tongues more than you all do. But then he goes on to say, but in the church, I want to speak with my understanding so that you understand. So when did the Apostle Paul speak in tongues? Oh, I don't know. While he's floating in the deep 3 days and a night, or 3 nights, floating on a piece of a boat that shipwrecked. It's a good time to shandalia kolia sodala mashar kushandalia sodala maroko sho. Just saying. So we need to know. I'm going to ask Judy to come up. She shared something with me while we were praying. And if we could make this mic hot. Thank you. Isn't it good to have Judy back? Amen.
It's miraculous that I'm even speaking right now. We were in worship. God showed me this goblet. And years ago, I saw a vision of a group of angels coming in with great big huge goblets into a church. Not this church, but a different church. And the Lord reminded me of this. And the procession of the church showed these goblets, and they walked down the aisles, and then they offered a drink of each goblet. And I heard clearly that it was the Holy Spirit. And the Lord reminded me of a Bible verse I learned years ago, Titus 3, 5 and 6. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, so that we, being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. As this played out, people were offered drinks, a little teacup, or as much as could be given out. And even to be hysterical with what he shared is, how many people just have a shot glass filled with Holy Spirit and says, you know what? I've had enough. I'm satisfied. And the offer is here too. You are a place of living waters by the renewing of the Holy Spirit to be filled to the fullness of what he wants to give you. And to never stop thirsting is the challenge that the Holy Spirit and Father God and Jesus are prompting you to think about and to really ask. And there's a goblet or a pitcher full every day. Come and take as much you feel you're capable of, and God will grow it.
Amen.
But He also offers today living waters, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit, more of understanding even the tongues that you have been gifted with.
Yes.
For His glory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Judy. Amen. Let's stand. On the Jesus, concerning Jesus, chapter 7, John, on the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and He cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink. He who believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this He spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in Him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But I want you to know that Jesus now has been glorified, and the Spirit has been given. And I want to echo Judy's words, we can have all we want. Before we go, just take a drink. Just receive. I'm going to ask if the prayer teams will come up. Again, they're here this morning. If you want prayer for anything, something we've talked about this morning or not, that's immaterial. Maybe you have a need. Yes. Okay, go ahead.
I got a word of knowledge for ringing ears. If you got ringing ears, please come up. And then also, yeah, just another thing just to share. The Lord wants to really demonstrate Himself this week to you. He wants you to lay hands on somebody, pray for somebody. And I just want to do a quick impartation here right now for healing. So
good.
Everybody just hold your hands up.
Good.
Heavenly Father, we anoint these hands right now, Lord, for healing. We want to be Your hands. Proclaim Your glory. Thank You, Father. Now, for a sign of that, just since I'm the Lord, if somebody's hands are got oil on them, it's kind of a sign that He's serious about what He wants you to do. Anybody got oil in their hands? Wouldn't be everybody, just somebody. Mm-hmm. Manifest oil in the hands.
If you have ringing in the ears, Roy will be over here off to the side, and he will pray for you. God gives words of knowledge because He intends to do something. So if that witnesses with you, please receive. Father, we thank You this morning for Your word to us. We thank You for the invitation. We thank You, Father, that it is okay to drink alone. We thank You that we can drink in our home, we can drink in our car, we can drink in our office. We thank You for the privilege that You give us. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are not practicing social distancing in this time and in this hour.
Amen.
We thank You that we can call upon our helper at any time, and You will be there in various ways. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about us, please visit livingwatersmn.org.